Immortality is something to be both sought and feared in fiction, at least, but it's always a philosophical question. It's not really a pragmatic one. However, Pulitzer Prize-winning author
Jonathan
Weiner.
Think this is my first life? You think this is just my first life?
Oh, you like it? You're doing the cat thing with the nine lives? Is that what you're
telling? Immortality.
Jonathan Weiner says immortality could actually be a reality. And this is, again, nonfiction. His new book is called Long for This World, The Strange Science of Immortality. It lays out the latest research on aging. And according to some experts, one in particular, human immortality could be attainable. Isn't that right, Jonathan Weiner?
It's something like that. Actually, I'm writing about scientists who are trying to dramatically extend our lifespans and are wary of the word immortality because it sounds so completely pie in the
science
sky.
Science fiction, as
that's right.
Okay, so let's talk about your definition of immortality. Are we talking about a life of Methuselah, maybe at 900 years? Or are we talking about living forever?
It depends which scientist you talk to. And the guy I talked to the most, Aubrey de Grey, who's this British biogerontologist with the look of a young Methuselah, you know, a beard down to here, and a beer always in his hand, says that
he's still alive, right?
He's still going strong. He's only 46, though, so time will tell. He expects to live extra centuries.
Extra centuries?
Extra centuries. He hopes so. And he thinks that many people now alive will live Methuselah-length lifespans, 1,000 years. All we have to do is clean up our metabolic acts. All we have to do is clean up all the detritus that metabolism produces. He's got a list of 7 deadly things. We clean those up, we'll live 1,000 years or 2,000 or even 1,000,000 years. He also objects to the word immortality. He says that makes it sound like fantasy. He's talking about reality. But I think if you're talking about 1,000,000 years,
That's pretty close to forever.
From where we sit now.
Okay, but let's talk a little bit more about this biologist, Aubrey de Grey, who is a character in and of himself, but his bona fides are perfectly above board. I mean, he is a true, serious scientist. But let's talk about how he talks about that. In other words, we're still biological material. We're still relatively fragile. We're not going to be replaced by bionic parts, I'm assuming. So how do you make, you know, this particular hand, this skin, last for hundreds, if not thousands of years?
His argument, and this isn't original with him. Actually, it goes back to Sir Francis Bacon at the start of the scientific revolution. His argument is, look at what we can do when we're 10, 11, 12 years old. We're still biological machines, our bodies then, but we're doing very, very well. We're growing. We're strong. We're very unlikely to die of any sort of disease that gets us later on.
And there's scientific evidence that aging is a result of certain triggers that go off, that if we could prevent them, this robustness that you're talking about could sort of last more or less indefinitely.
Exactly. If you could live at this in the state of health that you had when you were 12, then in actuarial terms, you might live 1,000 years, 10,000 years, and so on. So that's where Aubrey de Grey gets his fantastic-sounding figures. Now, that, of course, is the if of the ages, if you could do that.
Right.
His 7-point plan is one of a number that are circulating among gerontologists. But as you say, he is taken seriously, more and more seriously, by other people who study human lifespan.
Well, give me a couple of these 7 points.
All right. His list has varied a little bit. It started out with 9. Now it's down to 7. But we're talking about very familiar problems. They get more and more familiar as you get older.
If you say, be sure to exercise, I'm going to march you out of the studio.
Well, those are the prescriptions. Those come after the 7 deadly things. One of the 7 deadly things is our molecular machinery gets gunked up as we get older. The proteins that drive the body at the level of the cell get all these sort of sugary cross-links, and they stick together. And it's really ugly when you start looking at it at the level of the molecules.
Yeah.
So Aubrey's prescription there is find some kind of molecular scissors to snip all those cross-links.
Oh, is that all?
That's it. That's all we need. And don't damage the actual structure. So you have to be very specific with those scissors.
Some kind of massive antioxidant sort of idea.
Right.
Yeah, antioxidants. Those have been around for a while. And they address one of the big metabolic side effects of life. And Aubrey's argument is aging itself. Globally speaking, aging itself is a side effect of being alive. And we just need to address all those side effects, and we've done it.
But really, the complication here is that we don't actually know what the aging process is.
You're right.
That's the problem.
That's right. A fellow science writer, Matt Ridley, has said recently that writing a book about immortality or lifespan now is like writing about gravity before Newton. And I certainly found it that way. There are so many theories of what aging is. And I hadn't realized that before I started talking with these gerontologists. I thought we knew. We don't know any more than we know what consciousness is. But they're getting much closer, and as they get closer, they feel incredible excitement around the world because they're getting closer to understanding this while it becomes maybe the global medical issue of our time and certainly of the next 10 or 20 years. We need to understand aging because we have a global demographic crisis as a result of the baby boom, me included, growing older. So,
which would argue for people getting out of the way rather than living forever.
Maybe. It depends on your point of view. If they could manage to give us an extra 7 good years or 10 good years.
Healthy years.
Healthy years, that's right. Then the more mainstream gerontologists would argue there would be tremendous economic benefits as well as benefits for all of us. If you could add much more, you get into bizarre science fiction territory where people like Aubrey de Grey are very happy to go. But they're all talking together now, and there are white papers coming out. I've just read one that's under embargo that includes people of extreme points of view and very conservative points of view arguing that we now need to recognize this as the global medical issue. Should we intervene in aging? Should we throw all we've got into this and try to slow it down?
What do you want, 150, 200 years? What do you think?
I told Aubrey I'd be happy with 85, and he said, sure, you say that, but a generation ago you would have said I'd be happy with 70 or 75.
Right.
So where do you draw the line?
Well, Jonathan Weiner's new book is called Long for This Word, The Strange Signs of Immortality. While we're on the subject of lifespans, can I just ask your opinion on another news item, which would be the lifespan of General Stanley McChrystal's career? He's going to be meeting with President Obama. We're asking our listeners, what do you think?
I think we need an urgent medical life extension intervention.
He's a nano general, I think.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.